Amen. Acts chapter number 4 here, and I really don't know where to start. I reckon I'll start in verse 23. Acts chapter number 4, verse 23. Says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." And then I'm going to read another verse. You don't have to turn there. But it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 9, one verse. It says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." A great door, a great opportunity to do something for God. But in the midst of that, there are many adversaries. If the Lord will help me just for a little while, I'd like to preach to you this morning on the simple thought, responding to adversity. Responding to adversity. You know, when I first got saved, I didn't realize that this was altogether a way of suffering. That there were some hardships along the way. And I've said this many times, and I believe you could probably relate to this. When I first got saved, I didn't know what a valley was, but it didn't take long for me to realize that it wasn't always a hallelujah and a glory to God. It wasn't always that I felt like running and shouting. And there were some times when the enemy would fight. And since then, I faced many things, and I don't want to focus on the adversity, but the fact is, here this morning, we all have adversity in some form or another. We all face things, Brother Herschel, that we don't like to face. And Jesus told us in his word, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." And then he went on to say, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Amen. There is adversity. There is problems. There's things that we have to contend with. But I remember many years ago, I heard Brother Larry Small preach a message that we don't have to let adversity and hardship and what we face and go through cause us to become bitter. But Brother Mark, we can let those things make us better than what we are. And I feel like the key to turning your adversity into something that will build your character and make you more like him and make you be a greater light in this world that we live in is not the adversity itself, but the way that we respond to it. Amen. The way we face it, when it comes, the way we handle it. Amen. And we know that within ourselves, there's no way that we can handle those things. The Lord has to help us. But I like the way Jesus said that. Before he even told them trouble was coming, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In other words, he said, "I'm fixing to tell you something, and it's going to disturb you, but don't worry." Amen. Amen. Don't worry about this. You can have peace. "In the world ye shall have tribulation." But he said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. I'm so glad here this morning that no matter what the adversity may be in our lives, amen, that we can overcome it. Amen, we can be victorious over it, but we have got to respond in the right way. Brother Dixon, I haven't always responded in the right way. In fact, many times I have failed in my response when adversity comes. Amen. I mean, especially being a pastor when things didn't go just like they should have went or the way you wanted them to. And you know, amen, we're human too. Praise God. But I was over in the book of Acts chapter number 3. You remember the story. Peter and John went up to the temple about the hour of prayer. And the Bible said there was a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb, whom they carried daily and laid at the gate of the temple. And as they entered in, the Bible said he was asking alms. And when he saw Peter and John, he fastened his eyes on them. Amen. He was looking for them to do something for him. And the Bible said that as he fastened his eyes upon him with John, amen, Peter said, "Look on us." And the Bible said he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. And you remember the story here. Amen. Simon Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the story said that he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood, walked, and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And when the people saw this, amen, the Bible said they were amazed. They were filled with wonder. And so they come to see what was going on. Amen. And what God had done was, amen, stirred their heart. Amen. And caused curiosity arise in them. Amen. So that they would come. And he gave Peter and John an opportunity to preach that gospel that Brother Armstrong was talking about here this morning. Amen. The Bible said when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness, amen, we have made this man to walk." Now listen, this is hard preaching right here. He said, "The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye have delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when ye had determined to let him go. Ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Ye killed the Prince of Life, amen, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And let me skip to verse 19. He said, "Repent ye therefore, amen, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, amen, that when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." In other words, God had performed this great miracle, amen, so Brother Neil, that they could, amen, be, they could hear the message, that life-changing, that life-altering message. And I feel like here in this hour, amen, that is the same message we need today. Amen, that is the same message that's able to reach down in the depths of sin and rescue those that are bound by the powers of hell. Amen, we don't need a new gospel. We don't need a new Jesus. We don't need a new way. I'm convinced the old message of the cross and the old message of repentance and the old message of turning from your sin is still sufficient, amen, to save this world, amen. I still believe, amen, the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I still believe that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. I'm glad for the message of the gospel, amen. That's why we need to uphold the ministry.
That's why we need to do like Brother Tim said. It is the ministry, amen, that promotes the gospel. It is the ministry that preaches the word. It is the ministry that reaches out to a lost and dying world. And when you kill the influence of the ministry, you're taken away from the power of the message, amen. I'm not talking about, amen, rank sinners and hypocrites, but I'm talking about among honest people. It's hard to get folks saved because they can't have confidence in anybody anymore. And I didn't know he was going to preach what he was going to preach this morning, but I felt like saying that before he preached it. Amen. Oh, help me preach the Lord. Amen. You know the story. He preached the message. And the Bible said in our text, or before, the same chapter of our text, and as he spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they lay hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. You know the story. The next day they called them forth, and they said, by what power or what by what name have you done this? And boy, Peter sure was changed when he got full of the Holy Ghost, wasn't he? Man, he was a different man, Brother Steve. For the Bible said, then Peter, and he reminds us why, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, amen, which has become the head of the corner. And then he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. There he is preaching the message again. And I'm just going to mention this briefly here. Amen. The world today, and even the devil today, he does not mind the miracles. He does not mind when God heals. He does not mind when God opens blinded eyes and unstops deaf ears and calls the lame to walk. It is not the miracle, amen, that disturbs the enemy, but it is the message. Amen. I said it is the message that the devil does not like. Amen. That's why the world today, they're flocking after men that seemingly can perform miracles upon those that are helpless. Amen. Amen. They love the miracles, but they don't want the message. It was not intended, amen, that the message, amen, points you to the miracle. But Brother Tim, it was important that the blessings and the miracles point you to the message. I said it was intended that the miracle, the blessing that God puts upon your life, points you to the life-changing message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we never have another miracle, there's one thing we got to have, and that is the message. Amen. Holiness, purity, sanctification. Amen. And everything that falls up under that. Hallelujah. They preached the message. Let me read verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they had their little private deacon board meeting. Amen. We got to deal with him. We got they're stirring up trouble. That message is messing everything up. No, that message is trying to straighten up the mess. Amen. That religious people have made in the church. Amen. Oh, help me, Lord. I better be good. Amen. Oh, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do? Now listen to this, to these men. For that indeed a notable miracle has been done. You know, we can't deny it. God's moving. Brother Lonnie, we can't deny it. God's made himself real. That man was sick for over 40 years. Never walked in his life. And we wasn't able to help him. No, sir. Hey, remember these two unlearned and ignorant fishermen come and they just say something simple like they said. Hey, remember, let me tell you. Hey, man, there's just something about that name. There's power in that name. Hey, remember, they said, you know, we can't deny it. Hey, man, something's good been done here. And there's no way we can deny it. And everybody's already seen it. And how are we going to handle this situation without getting everybody upset? Oh, Lord, help me preach here right now. This is off. It's one of them rabbit trails. I'm going to chase a little while. I'm going to try to get back on course. Amen. Oh, help me, Lord. One man called me. Said they had a meeting with them. Said that the church needed change. They needed something different. Amen. And you know, us pastors ain't perfect. And sometimes we preach the same thing over again. Amen. You try preaching every service. And see if you can come up with, hey, remember, preacher, that Bible's full of stuff. That's right. How come you testify the same thing you testify every time? You won't you testify different every time? Amen. Well, I won't try to encourage you tonight, today. Same song. You let the preacher preach the same message more than once. Amen. We getting tired of it. Let me tell you. Amen. You say, I'd get in if I had somebody different to hear. Well, we might could really preach if we had somebody that acted different when we preached. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Help me, Lord. Oh, yeah, he said they told me they need change. But they said, he said, they told me, what do you want to do? In short, what they were saying was, we done made up our mind what we want you to do. But what we want you to do is resign. Amen. They said, because we're the only ones that's taught about this and we don't want the rest of the church to be upset. You know, everybody's done seen what's done. How are we going to handle this without causing trouble in the church? I said, brother, if I was you, I'd stand up and say, the reason why I'm leaving is because they told me they need a change, and I don't want to hinder change. That's right. I don't know what it's going to do, but praise God anyhow. Amen. That's the way politicians work. Amen. That's right. That's the way people work that ain't got the Spirit of God in mind. They're more concerned about what somebody else thinks, and they want to do it just right so this preacher don't fall out with him and that preacher don't fall out with him, and they're working behind the scenes and they're trying to manipulate. And I know that's off my message here this morning, but I'm afraid it's in the Holiest Church. Well, let me go on. They conferred among themselves, what shall we do? How are we going to deal with this and keep everybody and not cause everybody to leave? I mean, we got to make this work, but we can't have what's going on. They said, surely a notable miracle's been done. We can't deny it. But they said, and I believe this is what the devil's ultimate desire is, but that it spread no further among the people. In other words, they were saying, we can't change what has been, but if we can alter what's going to be. You know, the devil can't change how God is blessed in the past. The devil can't change how God's blessed in camp meetings gone by. He can't take away from what God has already done. But if he can stop camp meeting 2009, if he can stop future revival, if he can hinder present revival, he knows he can't change what God's already done. But oh, if he can hinder what God wants to do for us, amen, it'll be done his job. You hear me this morning? They said that it spread no further among the people. We're going to put it out. We're going stop it right here and right now. Amen. We're going to hinder them right now. We can't change what's been done. Amen. But we can put our hand on it and we'll stop what God's trying to do in the future. Amen. Oh, Lord. Oh, I don't want to preach too long here this morning. Amen. He said, what we're going to do, we don't want it to spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But for we cannot speak the things but we've seen and heard. In other words, we don't have an alternative message for multi-congregation. We don't have something for this group and something for that group. And hey, man, we just got one message. We just got one gospel. Oh, help me preach, Lord. And the Bible said, amen. So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might have punished them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. They sent them out. Said, all right, whatever, just don't teach in that name. Next time it's going to be worse. Hey, man, do you notice what happened here? There was a great door open. God moved mightily. A man healed. The message preached. And the Bible said that many believed. In fact, about 5,000 believed. A great opportunity. A great door. Effectual is open unto me. But right in the midst of a great opportunity, amen, opposition arises. Right in the midst of revival, amen, the devil sticks his ugly head up. Amen. You know, that's when the devil begins to work. When God begins to move. As that old preacher said, when God goes a blessing, the devil goes to messing. Amen. You hear me? Amen. I'm glad we're living in a dark hour. Yes, we are. But we're living in the time of the greatest opportunity that we've ever had in all the world. I'm telling you. I remember what Brother Shad McDonald said in a camp meeting. He said, yes, it's a dark hour. Yes, it's a troublesome hour. But it's our hour. And it's the only hour we have. It's the only time we have. Amen. We have a great opportunity in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the financial crisis, in the midst of the immorality and the sin that's prevalent in the world today. Amen. The church has the greatest opportunity she's ever had to let a light shine to a lost and dying world.
We need to take advantage of it. But notice their response. Oh Lord, help me. I really have a burden on my heart. And I was hoping more would be here. I was hoping some individuals would, but nevertheless, I want to preach it to you here this morning. They sent them out. They told them go. And the Bible said, and being let go, they returned to their own company. Brother Tim, you know what they did when adversity arose in their lives? They surrounded themselves with the right people. Well, y'all tell me, what's the first thing the devil will tell you if you're discouraged on a Wednesday night? Stay home. Don't go to church. It's going to be dry anyway. Preacher's going to preach a rerun anyway. Huh? Stay home. The devil knows if you'll surround yourself with the right kind of people, Brother Morton, we can make it. That's why we need camp meeting. That's why we need each other. Oh, help me, Lord. I've said this at another camp meeting. I'm going to say it here. You may fall out with me right here and right now, but we sing that song. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. I don't need no mother. I don't need no father, no sister, no brother. No, I don't need nobody but Jesus. Now, I know. If everybody, Brother Tim Mark, you're my friend. You're one of the best. I've not known you but a year. You're one of the best friends I got. That's right. I ain't known you long, brother, but I feel like you're my friend. But Brother Neil, if you turn your back on me, Brother Tim, if you walk away, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else, Brother Dean. Amen. If you say I don't have nothing to do with that boy no more, amen, that's going to hurt. But as long as I got King Jesus, but let me tell you, I need you. Brother Steve, I need you. Brother Peach, I need you. Brother Head, I need you. Big brother, I need you. That's right. Yeah. I tell you what I've been telling my folks. Amen. We can't make it by ourselves. We can't stay stuck on a hill somewhere and feel like we can do all right by ourselves. And I know everybody ain't right. And I'll be the first to say, I don't agree with everything I've seen around here. But you know what? I need you. I said, I need you. Amen. Because there's strength in that. I can't make it by myself. The Bible said two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. Amen. Said, if one falls,
fall, the other shall lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. I don't want to be by myself. I said, I don't want to be myself when I fall. I need men like Brother Jim Yeomans to say, brother, I'm here to help you up. I'm telling you, we need each other. He said, if two lie together, then they have heat. You wondered why folks are cold in the house of God? You wonder why when you walk in a holiness camp meeting, instead of feeling the warmth of the Holy Ghost, you feel that bitter chill? Cause it's like Brother Steve said, we're here together, but we're like that cat and that possum tied together by the tail, thrown over a clothesline. Amen. There's no heat in that. The world's cold. The world's looking for something to satisfy them. When they come, I want them to feel the warmth of the love of God. I want them to feel, Brother Dixon, what I feel when I walked in the Huckabee Grove Emmanuel Holiness Church, that warmth and that love of God, amen, that unity of the saints. We need each other.
Brother Tony, I need you. Amen. I need everybody in this building. I can't make it. I belong to an organization. I'm licensed, and I don't agree with everything that's in that organization. We've got problems. Brother, let me tell you, we got them. But I tell you what the Lord helped me done, and I'm not very smart, but the Lord helped me to realize I need fellowship. I need accountability, too. That's one reason I joined. I wanted to be accountable. I didn't want to be a loose cannon, you know. I need somebody to say, hey, you can't do that. Folks don't like somebody to tell them what they can and can't do, do they? A man that don't like accountability, the accountability of men, there's no accountability to God, I'm afraid. That's right. Amen. And some of us have to have two pastors to keep us straight. Amen. But there's something else I realized. Even though I didn't agree with everything, I felt love among them people, and I still do. That's why the devil's attacking it. But nonetheless, I felt love. And I realized the value of fellowship. Brother Dixon, I lived an hour from my church. No holiness churches around. Only time I got to go to church was on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Didn't get to go Wednesday night. If I went, I had to go to a liberal church. When I moved to my hometown, Laurinburg, where I was born at, I thought, man, I'm going to take every revival in. Hey, man, I'm going to go to every service. Hey, man, there's all kind of churches around there. I just know they get along real good, and they shout together, and they support each other. And I would go to this revival, and I wouldn't see that one. And I'd go to that revival, and I wouldn't see this one. And I got to wondering, what in the world's wrong? If they was raised up where there was no holiness churches, if they didn't have the fellowship that I didn't have, when I was trying to live for God in public school, they would understand the value of fellowship. I'm telling you, when adversity comes, you need to surround yourself with the right people. Our brother read the scripture this morning, last night. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalms 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, even to the skirt of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon and the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. It was there that the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. In other words, when you surround yourself with the right people, it's like that fresh oil. It's like that morning dew. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Church in this hour, we need each other.
I was speaking with Brother Kelvin. He told me, he said, hey man, I'm going to adopt you as my big brother. I said, you mean you're not ashamed of me? Amen. You might be ashamed of me this morning. I hope not. But I need you. What did he say? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Lifting up, not beating down, stepping on, tearing up, destroying influence, but exhorting one another. And so much, I'm telling you, we got a world that don't like the gospel we preach and live.
Brother, we got a government that would love to take away our liberty. Amen. And tear down our churches. Amen. We don't need to do it ourselves. We got an enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. We got an enemy. We don't need to destroy ourselves when adversity arises. You need to surround yourself with the right people.
When you feel down and low and discouraged, and the enemy of your soul is beating you down, you need the saints of God. I believe that, Brother Stone. We need the saints of God. Yeah. If it hadn't been for good men like Brother Eugene Dixon, Brother Neil Bridges, and Brother Paul Guthrie, you've been a friend to me, brother. Amen. That's right. Amen. I tell you, I would not be here right now. See that man in that sound booth, the fat one? Amen. He's been my friend. Yeah. Brother Jim, you'll never know the times I was discouraged trying to pastor a liberal church and preach to them the truth. And you would call me and give me a word of encouragement. There were times I did not feel like preaching. There were times I felt like closing my Bible saying, all right, if you don't want it, I'm going somewhere else. And I'd get a call saying, brother, be patient. Amen, be patient. The Lord's going to help. I'm going to tell you, I'm feeling this right here this morning. I may not get to anything else. Amen, but I just feel like saying here this morning, when adversity arises, when trouble comes, you need to do like they did. They returned to their own company. They surrounded themselves with good sanctified men. They knew if I could just get to the house of God, if I could just go where the power of God is, if I could just get to where Brother Neil is and Brother Steve is and those good saints of God are, I could get help. I mean, there's been more than one time I come to the house of God defeated and discouraged. I felt like I couldn't make it another step, and the devil told me stay home, but something in me said you need to get up and you need to go. And before I left, Brother Billy Joe, the Lord came by and he lifted me and held me. Some brother came and put his arm around me and let me know I could make it, that everything was going to be all right. We must surround ourselves with the right people. Now, I don't know how much time I got. Then they said the right prayer, the Bible said. And when they heard that, they told us, listen, they threatened us. And this is the situation. The Bible said, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice unto God. There's one thing about this church I want you to understand. I know you know it. They were a praying church. Jesus told them to go and tarry until they would be endued with power from on high. And you know what they did? They done what he said. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And you know the story. And it gives us the characteristics. And I preached on this, done a series on it. The characteristics of a holiness church. And one of the characteristics were in verse chapter 2 verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship. That's there. They realized they needed each other. Breaking the bread. And in. Somebody say it. Prayers. They prayed. They were consistent in their prayer life. They continued in prayer. Listen, and I've said it many times, if it took praying through to get saved, it's going to take praying through to stay saved. Amen. They continually prayed. But I want you to notice how they prayed. They didn't get down, Brother Steve, and said, oh, poor, pitiful me. I just don't know if I can make it anymore. It's been so hard. It's been so tough. I just can't make it. I can't go on. No, that ain't what they did, Brother Tim. No, sorry. You know what they did? The Bible said, and I'm not going to read all of it, they lifted up their voice with one accord saying, Lord, thou art God. There's no doubt you're the one in control. And in short, they were saying, Lord, amen, we know you're God and we've got trouble, but Lord, we're asking you to help us. We're asking you to grant us boldness, amen, that we may speak and teach in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, with boldness. Amen, they said the right prayer. Listen, saint of God, amen, this ain't anything new and it's not elaborate, but I'm telling you, it's the simple things. It's the neglect of prayer life. It's the neglect of personal devotion that causes men to lose their faith and backslide and give up. When we fail to pray, amen, we will fail altogether. They prayed. They said the right prayer. I'm talking about responding. When trouble comes, what do? Pout, complain, or do you fall on your face and say, God, it's me again. It's something else. But I know you're able to help me. I know you're able to keep me. I know you're able to sustain me. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, if you want to overcome, you've got to respond by calling out to the one that's able to give you victory in the midst of your adversity. And then quickly today, he said, they prayed. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what the Lord gave me. Amen. They surrounded themselves with the right people. Brother Herschel, they said the right prayer. And when they done what they should have done, they were strengthened with the right power. If there's something we need in this hour, we need the power of God. You hear me? Amen. And it's going to come when people get together. It's going to come when people put aside their little petty differences and say, hey, we're going to heaven and we're going to serve God and we're going to spend eternity in that land where we'll never grow old. It's going to come when people say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to pray through until the power of God comes. And when they done that, the Bible said they were all filled. Or in other words, they were refilled. Amen. When's the last time you got refilled? Amen. I know there's some here you've never had the initial indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But I want to ask you, saints of God, that's had the Holy Ghost, when's the last time you got refilled? When's the last time the power of God came on you? Maybe that's the reason why, Brother Steve, amen, we have so many that's never been filled with no more desire to get it. Because they look at the people that talk about what they used to have and how they used to shout, but they never do it anymore. And I'm not making excuses for them. They were strengthened. Oh, listen. You say, preacher, I'm tired. I can't hardly go. Hey, man, I can't hardly make it. Hey, man, but I'm telling you, there's strength. And when you don't feel like you can go another step, I don't know what the adversity is. I know there's adversity here. I mean, I know it. But if you'll respond, if you'll do simple things like surround yourself with good people, the right ones, not the ones that tell you you can't make it and you can't go on. And, hey, man, why are you even trying in the first place? Huh? If you'll get a hold of God and pray, there's a power that will come. I said there's a power that will come every time. What did Isaiah say? And I'm fixing to close. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no mind, he increaseth strength. He said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And the Bible said he besought the Lord three times that it might depart. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, when you can't go anymore and you lean on the one that holds the stars in place, that holds the whole world in his hand. Amen. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, when I can't go another mile, if I'll just keep on a rowing and I keep on a going, the Lord will come by and he'll strengthen me. I'm fixing to close. I don't even know how long I preached here this morning. I told the church, you know, before I come here, the Last place I was at, I got to where I was preaching about 28 minutes. Since I've been at St. Paul, I preach about 50 minutes. I don't know why that happened. Like, I don't know. I must be enjoying it a little more. I don't know. Y'all tell them that too, will you? Amen. Amen. Paul said, I want to read this, and I'm going to close with this. Listen, respond the right way. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You know what he did? He strengthened me. I believe what he was saying, the reason why I can go to that chop block, the reason why I can lay my head down for the gospel's sake, because the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. The reason why I can preach, because the Lord's standing with me and he's a strength to me. The reason why you can sing, the reason why you can testify, the reason why you were able to walk in the doors of this church, because even though other men may have forsook you, the Lord stood with you and he gave you strength. Amen. Respond to your adversity like these men did, and you will be